Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
In Miami-Dade County, nearly 63% of children live in households that cannot afford the basics. And 19%, yes, 19% are living in poverty. The reality is that many hardworking families in our city simply cannot keep up with the rising cost of living. In fact, this year, 38% of parents say that they will cut back on areas like food and basic needs just to make ends meet, and will work overtime and even second jobs. You know, as followers of Jesus, this should break our hearts. And church, God has called us to do something. Because of that, we're launching a brand new initiative called Be a Blessing. You see, the idea behind this initiative is that Christ Fellowship would come alongside these families in the city and not just serve them once, but rather develop a relationship with them where we can be a blessing to the same family at different times of the year, such as the beginning of school year, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, and beyond. And if they ever go through some sort of tragedy or trial, they know there's a group of people that they can go to for support and for prayer. You see, over the years, we've been able to serve thousands of families through various community outreaches, and we've seen God move in the hearts of many families. But our desire is not that we would just be a church that serves families one time a year, but rather that we would come alongside these families and serve them above and beyond at various times of the year. And so here's my challenge for our church. You ready? Starting this summer, I would love to see us come alongside 500 families in our city. In fact, I would love to see each of our small groups be part of this Be a Blessing initiative. You know, I've shared with you before that our desire is for every person to be in a small group and every small group to be on mission. And this is such a great way for your small group to be on mission. And the first way we're gonna be a blessing to these families will be at the start of the new school year, where we will not only get their kids ready for school with backpacks filled with school supplies, but we will also partner with Caring for Miami so that their children would have food to eat over the weekend for just $300 for the entire year. This will ensure that these children would have food over the weekend until they're able to return to school on Monday. To sign up your small group, or if you're in an individual family that would like to be part of this initiative, go to cfmiami.org/beablessing. Christ Fellowship, God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others, specifically in our city. So let's be faithful to God's call and be a blessing.
Amen, amen. Praise God. What a powerful time of worship. You know, as we were singing that song, I started to reflect on the lyrics of that powerful worship song. Because we serve a God, a good Heavenly Father, that will never meet us with His arms closed. Never. We serve a God that we can bring all of our mistakes, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our struggles, all of our challenges. We can bring it to Him in the altar, and He will always meet us with His arms wide open and say, son, daughter, I am here. I know you're struggling. I know you're going through things in life. I know you're facing some adversity, but make no mistake that I am with you and I am for you. How many of you believe that today? Come on, West Kendall. Come on, Doral. Come on, Coral Gables. Come on, Redland. Come on, downtown. If you're watching us online, Jesus, use me, change me, mold me, If you believe that today, come on and give Jesus a loud shout of praise. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we want to welcome you to Christ Fellowship, and my name is Carlos, and I serve as the executive pastor here. And if you're joining us for the first time, we want to say thank you so much for being a part of our experience today. I want to take a moment and welcome all of our campuses, West Kendall, Doral, Coral Gables, downtown Redland campus. If you're watching us online, can we give it up for all the first-time guests? Yeah, let's give it up for them. Today, we continue this series that we've entitled Resilient, and we've been going through the life of Joseph. And today, we're going to learn about being resilient in forgiveness. And it is a heavy topic, but I believe it's going to be very transformative if you allow God to work in you and through you. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in Genesis 45. We're going to begin in verse 3. How many of you are ready?
Ready.
All right, awesome. Here's what the Word of God says. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. In other words, they were afraid. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Then later on in that same chapter, this is where the forgiveness takes place. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. In other words, he forgave his brothers. Amen. Let's go to the Lord and let us pray. Father God, we just come before you. We thank you because you are a good and gracious God, Lord. We thank you, God, that we get to come together here in this nation as we celebrate the 4th of July. God, thank you for this country, Lord, that we can experience freedom to worship you, Lord. God, thank you that you have brought us to this place, Lord. I pray that you speak to us today, God. Help us to be transformed by the power of your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. You can have a seat now. You know, this weekend is not only very special for us in my home because it's 4th of July weekend and we celebrate our country. You know, I was born and raised in the United States and very thankful to be a part of this country, to live here. But it's also very special for us in my home because today, yes, today is my beautiful wife's 35th birthday and she's right there. Happy birthday, my love. I love you, babe. She's an amazing mother, an amazing wife, and so blessed by you. But you know, when I remember when we were celebrating Shawnee's birthday, when I first met her, and we were like in the zone where we were like, we're friends, but we're kind of dating. And I remember that there was a 2010, and there's a picture of Shawnee. That was her first birthday that we celebrated together. And we went to this restaurant called Van Dyke's on Lincoln Road. And many of you probably remember that restaurant. It no longer exists. It actually has really good food, and they play live jazz music. But I remember that first date, first birthday that we celebrated together. I was the type of person that whenever we went on a date, I wanted to make sure that my car was immaculate. I used to drive an IS250, Lexus IS250 2006, yeah. And I was always detailing the car every single Friday evening. I was making sure that I put the right shine on the tires, that it smelled good. And one of the biggest things for me is that I wanted to set the mood, so I wanted to play the right music. But before the days of streaming platforms like Apple Music and Spotify Music and, you know, the different platforms that we have now, back in the days when I used to pick up Shawnee when we were dating, we had these things.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you remember that? CDs. And I had an album case this size. It looked like a dictionary. like encyclopedia. And I had all the different kinds of music, like if I wanted Spanish music, if I wanted hip-hop, romantic, jazz, country music. And so I would get the CD, I would get it from the album, and I would put it there, and it would play the music, it would play the song that I wanted, it would play the verse that I wanted, the bridge and the verse, and everything. And I would set the mood, and it was just right, and I would pick up my beautiful future wife, Shawnee, right? Future wife. I'm already praying about that and declaring it over my life, and I'll pick her up. But here's the thing about CDs. That the moment that it had a scratch, it doesn't matter how amazing that song is. It doesn't matter if it's a top 50 song, top 10, top 5. It doesn't matter how poetic the verses of that bridge or how amazing the lyrics are and how much you enjoy it. The moment that it has a scratch, that CD can no longer function like it's supposed to function. It no longer operates the way it's supposed to operate, because the moment it has a scratch, it would either pause, it would stop, it would skip over, or it would not work at all. You see, don't miss the point in all of this, because that is the way that life can seem sometimes. See, the moment that people do things against us, the moment that people do betray us, the moment that people slander our character, at that moment, we're dealing with all these scratches in our life, and it leads to unforgiveness. And if we experience unforgiveness in our life and we live this life filled with bitterness and sorrow and resentment and sadness and all these frustrating things, we are not able to operate and function how God desires for us to function. We're not able to do the things that God desires for us. We're not able to operate in the freedom that God desires for every single one of his children. And who knows, maybe you're here today, and maybe people have sinned against you. Maybe you're here today and you're like, Carlos, you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea what she said about me. You have no idea what is happening in my home. And I carry this bitterness and I carry unforgiveness in my life. And I've been carrying this for such a long time. So how do I get rid of unforgiveness in my life? How do I overcome? How do I break the barrier of unforgiveness? Well, that's exactly what we're going to find out today as we go through this narrative in Genesis chapter 45. And I believe this is going to be so life-changing and transformative for you. So we love to take notes here. Make sure that you take out your listening guide. And this is the first point that I want you to write down today. People will offend you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We live in a sinful and broken world. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer, a follower of Jesus, or you're not a follower of Jesus. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how much education you have, if you're a student, if you're a father, if you're a mother. It doesn't matter what stage in life you are in. Because we live in a sinful and broken world, people are going to offend you. But how do we deal with the offenses come to our life? Well, we're going to learn through the life of Joseph, because look at what the passage says in Genesis 45, verse 3. I want to read that passage again. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Now, let me give you a little bit of context to set up the teaching for today and help you understand what is happening here. Joseph, in this narrative, is 39 years old. The last time he saw his brothers, he was 17 years old. They threw him into a pit, and then they sold him as a slave in Egypt. So he had not seen his brothers for 22 years,
And the reason why they're now in Egypt is because there's a major famine in that region of that land. So his brothers are in the lowest point of their life. And so they go to Egypt and they have no idea that they're in front of Joseph. Why? Because 22 years have passed and probably they don't recognize him. And also because of the garments that he was wearing. He was in royalty. He was Pharaoh's second in command. And so he was in charge over Egypt. And so they didn't realize that it was his brothers. And so after a series of different tests, eventually in this narrative, Joseph discloses his identity. He shows who he is. And he says, guys, you have no idea, but I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. And when that happens, the Bible says there that they were dismayed. In other words, they were frightened. They were afraid because they thought to themselves, oh gosh, that's Joseph. And he has all the power and all the resources and all the control and all the authority. That guy is gonna repay evil with evil. We did wrong against him. You see, if there was anyone who can justify not forgiving, it was Joseph. Guys, you guys were the ones who threw me into that pit. Think about the trauma that Joseph probably experienced. The loneliness and not knowing if he's gonna get out of this dark place and being trapped into a pit. How long am I gonna be here? You threw me to become a slave in Egypt. Then I am falsely accused by my master's wife. My master's wife tries to make an advancement on me and I do the right thing and I flee from temptation. And then she says that I raped her and because of that, I'm in prison for 2 years. Joseph goes through intense suffering for 13 years. Intense misery. Intense tribulation. Adversity, hardship, storms in life for 13 years. If anyone could justify not forgiving, it was Joseph. I'm in this mess, or I was in this mess because of you. He was his father's favorite. And then he goes from being into the pit, slave, prison, but now he is in Pharaoh's palace. If anyone had the power to repay evil with evil, think about it, it was Joseph. Joseph could have told the military there in Egypt, those 11 guys there, all those 11 men, take care of them. Kill them all. With the snap of his fingers, with the voice of his, with the command of his voice, he could have told the soldiers, throw them into the pit. Let Benjamin experience and Judah and Levi, let them experience what I experienced in the pits. Let them go through the emotional abuse of being in a dark place for such a time. Let them experience what I went through. Throw them in prison for 2 years. Yet Joseph doesn't. He doesn't do what's easy. He does what's right. Amen. He doesn't do what is convenient, what he could have just been like, oh, you guys are gonna get it now. He does what is godly. And he says, listen, you guys hurt me and it was painful, but God sent me here to preserve. And even though it is hard and even though it is difficult and even though it is painful, I am going to extend forgiveness to you. Amen. Forgiveness is not easy. What's easy is to hold a grudge. What's easy is to gossip. Come on now. What's easy is to manipulate. What's easy is to retaliate. But why does God call us to forgive? Why is it that Jesus, all throughout the Gospels, yes, we forgive because we've been forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3, the Sermon on the Mount. And we forgive because God has forgiven us. But forgiveness is not about the person. Forgiveness is about you. See, I want to make this very clear. People often say, oh, forgive and forget. No. Easy for you to say that. See, forgiveness is not forgetting. We're human beings. We're going to remember things. It's not like, I don't know if you've watched the movie Men in Black, just to throw this out there, Men in Black, they had, whenever they would encounter an alien, they would have this device, and they would turn on the device so that the person's memory can be forgotten. They forgot what happened there. That doesn't exist in life. It's not like automatically our mind is erases all those thoughts and all the things they did to us and that scene or that situation or that episode or that narrative that took place years ago in your life is automatically gone. Forgiving is not forgetting. However, forgiving is freedom.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Forgiveness is not forgetting, but forgiveness is freedom. Because when you forgive, even though it is not an easy thing, you can experience true freedom in life and you can operate the way that God wants you to operate. Just like that CD that was not able to function and work properly, it's the same way in our life. Because when we don't forgive, those thoughts of resentment and those thoughts of bitterness and the feelings of bitterness and hurt and pain, they just weigh you down. They just slow you down. One of the things that I love to do, and I think I probably shared this before, but I love going grocery shopping in person. Like, I actually like going to the store. How many of you like going to the grocery store in person? Make some noise, yeah? Yeah, y'all love Jesus. Amen. Praise God. How many of you do the Instacart thing and want to act all young and hip and modern? Make some noise. It's cool. It's cool. All right. We'll pray for you after the service. Cool. You get one hot dog instead of two hot dogs. I'm just kidding. So, but I love going to the grocery store. And the grocery store that my wife and I, we always go to are two. We usually always go to two, which is Trader Joe's and Aldi. Praise God for Aldi. I don't own stock there. I just love it because that place is cheap. You buy a bunch of stuff for three hungry children, $72. Praise the Lord. That's it? Yeah. This is amazing. But the thing with Aldi is that you gotta put a quarter for the shopping cart and you gotta pay for the bags. And I went there the other day and I wanted to get a couple things just really quick. I didn't have a quarter, so I'm like, I'm gonna man up and I'll take all the stuff. I'm not gonna ask for help. I'm not gonna get a shopping cart. So I start getting a couple things and my beautiful, lovely wife sends me a text message. I know you're at Aldi because I saw your location. I'm like, all right, girl, why? She's like, can you get me? And she starts getting me a couple things. And it goes from one thing, sends me a picture of another thing. I'm like, God bless you. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take it. So I start taking the stuff, and I'm carrying it. And I almost use my toes to carry, like, the bread. And I'm carrying it, and I throw it into the register. And there isn't a person there because now that you do self-checkout, and people are not there anymore, so you do it yourself. So I put it there, and it's like, do you want a bag? 10 cents. No, I want to want to take care of the environment. I'm not going to get a bag. So I take the stuff and I'm carrying it. And as I'm carrying it back to the car, the bread falls. A bread. Pick up the bread. Then I carry a little bit. The cheese falls. Pick up the cheese. Then someone, hey, Pastor Carlos, God bless you. Help a brother out. So then I'm carrying the stuff. And finally, I make it to the car. And I start thinking to myself, if I'm carrying all these things, I am limited on how far I can go and how fast I can go. I can only go a certain distance, and I only can go a certain speed. Can I remind you today, in a much greater way, some of you are carrying some stuff. Some of you are carrying unforgiveness, bitterness, the slander, the hurt, and the pain, and it is slowing you down, and you can't go as fast and as far as God desires you to go. I came to remind you today, it is time to let it go. It is time to drop it off. It hurts, the pain, what he said about me, what she did to me. It is time to let it go, and I'm going to leave it at the feet and the hands of Jesus. How many of you believe that today? I am preaching to somebody at West Kendall. I am preaching to somebody at Redland. I am preaching to somebody at Coral Gables that is letting go of unforgiveness. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's going to slow you down. It's going to bring you down. You cannot experience the fullness of joy and freedom that comes with forgiving someone. Now, when it comes to forgiveness, there are two kinds that I want to make sure that we understand. There's unilateral forgiveness. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. And there's also transactional forgiveness. Unilateral forgiveness is that you are forgiving the person even if they've not repented, even if they've not apologized. Perhaps they don't even think they did something wrong against you. They thought it was right and that you're just playing the victim card. They haven't repented. Maybe they're no longer in your circle of influence. Maybe they no longer live in the city that you live in, or maybe they're no longer alive. And you forgive the person. You have the prayer with God, and I'm forgiving this person for what they did to me. That's unilateral forgiveness. There isn't two parties involved. Transactional forgiveness, which is what we see here in Genesis 45, that the brothers are repenting for what they did wrong, is when there's forgiveness for reconciliation, for redemption, is that you want to make things right. Now, here's what I want you to understand, because it's so important. Oftentimes, people think, I forgive the person. Here's the common mistakes. Forgiving is forgetting. Not true, because you still remember. But the bitterness doesn't hold you down. It doesn't weigh you down. It doesn't control you. You're able to let go of the bitterness and the anger and the thoughts of retaliating. But oftentimes people think forgiving is to have to be your friend now. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you need to be their friend. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you need to go back to how things were, that we had such an intimate and close friendship or relationship. No. The Bible speaks clearly about how we have to be wise on the people that are our friends, and we have to set the right boundaries. However, you still can forgive the person and move on with your life. There's unilateral and there's transactional. So with all that being said, how, Carlos, do I, in a practical way, forgive those that sin against me? Well, I want you to write this down, and we're going to take it out from this story. When people offend you, acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge the pain. Look at what that passage says in Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Look at what verse 2 says. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Realize the pain that he is demonstrating. His brothers are in this room in the palace, and he tells everyone, the Egyptian soldiers and everyone who was there, he tells them, listen, leave this room. It's just my brothers and I. And the Bible says that he weeps so loud that the entire palace heard his pain. He's not dismissive of his pain. He doesn't diminish or downplay the hurts. He doesn't say, oh, what you guys did to me, it wasn't a big deal. What you guys did to me back then, that you threw me into a pit, what you guys did to me, that you sold me into slavery, and he just, that's not a big deal. Look where I'm at now. It's all good. It's all fine. He doesn't ignore the pain. He doesn't diminish the pain. He doesn't dismiss the pain. He weeps so loud that the entire house heard the pain that he was experiencing at that moment. See, what that person did to you, it hurts. It was painful what your ex-husband did to you. God's not calling you to ignore what perhaps your father did to you, or a family member, or an ex-business partner, or someone that you used to go to school. The bullying was not easy. He's not calling you to ignore the bullying that took place. He's not calling you to be dismissive. It's painful. So the first thing that you do to overcome forgiveness is that you acknowledge the pain. However, if you're taking notes, write this down as your next point. You don't replay the offense.
Amen.
You don't replay the pain. Look at what that narrative says in Genesis 45, and this is going to be so life-changing. This is so important. Stay with me because this is very powerful, and we find it in this story. Look what it says. Joseph tells the brothers, so it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son, Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Notice, he doesn't go on a history lesson with his brothers. Hey, when you go talk to dad, let him know all the evil that you did to me. Remember when I was 17 and you guys were making fun of me and you guys were jealous and you guys were bullying me and you guys were saying all these negative things about me? You were so jealous and you were so envious that when I was 17, because I was father's, daddy's favorite, that you threw me into a pit. Remember that? Remember that you threw me into a pit, and then one of the brothers rescued me out of that and decided to just throw me into slavery in Egypt. And you remember that? You remember that you lied about my death and you told my dad that I was killed by an animal? Do you remember that? Do you remember the emotional abuse that you caused in my life? Do you remember the trauma that you caused as I was a 17-year-old teenage boy that took place 22 years ago? Do you remember that? No. What does he say? Tell dad how good things are going. Tell dad that I am Lord of Egypt, that I'm in command. Tell dad how successful things are for me. Tell God of the favor that's over my life. Tell God how I achieved so much greatness and the position that I'm in. He doesn't replay the offense, but he points to the future. You see, the problem is too many Christians, too many followers of Jesus, we are good at being archaeologists. An archaeologist is so passionate about digging up the past. They spend all their time, all their energy, all their focus to do extensive, laborious research, long dragged out, on finding out about the past. What took place? Excavating rocks. This is what happened. He said this. She said that. My business went sour because of him, because of her. The comment on social media, not only do we replay the past, we try to investigate more. We go into investigative mode. I'm going to go and find out more. Little Kelly or little Maria or my ex-husband, I realize all this other stuff happened, and I'm going to find out more. Wait till I find out more. Living in the past. Digging. Tell the person next to you, stop digging. At West Kendall, tell the person next to you, stop giving. The other person, stop digging. Stop digging. Digging. All consumed with the past. No wonder you can't forgive. No wonder you're filled with bitterness. God did not call us to be archaeologists. He called us to be meteorologists. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody today. A meteorologist looks and says, wait, here's what's coming on the horizon. Here's what's coming in the future. And I know that my word says that even though they betrayed me, even though they said things about me, I know that God is good and God is for me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will always sustain me because he's a good and gracious God. And the Bible says in James that every good and perfect gift does not come from someone here, but it comes from above. How many of you believe that today? But we're so consumed with just digging up the past. You're never going to forget the situation if you just dig up the past. Dig up the past. Digging up the past. See, acknowledge the pain. Do not play the offense, or do not replay the pain. Here's the next point that I want you to write down. Forgiveness is a decision and a process. It is a decision and a process. When did Joseph decide to forgive his brothers? When? As I was doing some research and studying the life of Joseph, and I'm pretty familiar with it, there was something that came up that I thought was so powerful and I wanted to share with you, because in Genesis 41, look what the Bible says, and I believe that this is the moment, this is the breaking point, this is the time that he makes that decision to share, to forgive his brothers. He says, before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. This is amazing, because the person that wounded and scarred and hurt and scratched the emotional heart and mind of Joseph, it wasn't a coworker. It wasn't a friend. It wasn't a neighbor. It wasn't someone that he just did life with. It was his very own 11 brothers, his very own family. Oftentimes, the people that will hurt us most in life are those who are closest to us. It was his very own brothers. And what I love about this passage in Genesis 41, that now God was giving Joseph a new family. Now God was giving Joseph two sons. And those sons, the meaning of their names.
Come on now.
Manasseh, Lord, you help me overcome the unforgiveness, the afflictions of the past, of my family, forgetfulness. And then Ephraim, fruitfulness. God help me to produce fruit,
yes,
in my affliction.
Amen.
You see, the way that you go through the healing process of unforgiveness is not just only about letting go of the past and not replaying the offense, but reminding yourself there is something that God wants to do in you and through you now.
Amen.
So many people have said, Pastor Carlos, I can't serve and I can't be used by God because I'm still dealing with the situation that happened in my previous church. I still have these thoughts of bitterness of something that has taken place in the past in ministry. And listen, I'm for taking a sabbatical. We're for taking some time of rest, and we understand that. But don't limit what God can do in you and through you.
Amen.
I love this, because it says, one son represents me forgetting my trouble, and the other one represents bearing fruit. Forgetfulness and fruitfulness. And here's the last point that I want you to write down today. I'm closing up now. Here's the last point that I want you to write down today. Forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people forgive. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as what? As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. The message of the gospel, the message of Jesus, is a message of forgiveness. If you are a recipient of God's forgiveness, you're called to be a giver of God's forgiveness. If forgiveness flows in you, it should flow through you. And when we look at the gospel and the cross, we see that Jesus, if there's anyone who epitomizes forgiveness, it was God. Jesus lived a perfect life, took all of our sins, all of our past, present, and future sins, and he forgave them.
Amen.
Once and for all on that cross. You know, going back to the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, this is the end of the narrative. This is how Genesis begins to close. Look at what the passage says. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him. So they sent a message for Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God." In Genesis 50, Joseph is now 56 years old. 17 years have passed by since Genesis 45, when Joseph forgives his brothers. But now, daddy is dead. And his brothers are like, "Oh gosh, Joseph is really gonna pay us back." 17 years have transpired, and they're still doubting the forgiveness that Joseph exemplified 17 years ago, because they thought that Joseph, little Joseph, their brother, forgave them because of Jacob. Or Joseph forgave them because of mom. Or Joseph doesn't forgive them because of his father. He doesn't forgive them because of his mother. He doesn't forgive them because it is the morally correct thing to do, and he's in royalty, and he needs to be a good citizen, and he needs to be a good neighbor, so I'm gonna forgive you. No! He forgives them because he knew it was a God thing.
Amen.
And for 17 years, his own brothers probably thought, "He's doing this because of dad." No. I'm not doing it because of dad. I'm doing it because of God.
Amen.
I'm not doing it because of an earthly father. I'm doing it because of a heavenly father. How many of you believe that today? Come on and give Jesus a shout of praise. In 2018, there was a very powerful, powerful story that many of you probably have heard of. This young man by the name of Bodum Sean. He was 26 years old. He was an accountant, had a bright future. He was killed in his apartment as an innocent man. This woman would come into the apartment, and she thought she was in her apartment. She was one of the neighbors, and shoots him. It was just a very sad, horrific story. And on the day of the sentencing of the woman, she deserved to be to go to prison, and she went to prison for many years. On that day, the final statements were shared from the family members, and one of his brothers shared a powerful statement that I believe is so life-changing, and only someone who's a man of God can say such a powerful thing in the midst of so much tragedy. He's in front of the woman who killed his brother, a guy who's 26 years old, was very intelligent, brilliant, gifted young man, an accountant, had so much still in stake for his life. He's in front of the killer of his brother, and he says this powerful thing to her. With that in mind, take a look at this video now.
"I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Only someone who has been forgiven from our Savior can extend forgiveness like that. Only someone who has experienced Jesus can truly forgive like that. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not diminishing the pain or downplaying the hurt or ignoring and saying that wasn't a big deal. But forgiveness is freedom. And maybe you're here today and you've been dealing with something for seasons, from one relationship to another, still carrying that unforgiveness. Today is time to let go. Let go and leave it to God. There where you are, we're going to have a moment now where we're going to open up the altar. The band is going to continue to play music at all of our campuses. We're going to open up the altar, and whatever you're going through in life, even if it's not unforgiveness, whatever it is, I think there's something holy and reverent and special that happens when the people of God are in a posture of humility and we come before Him. I'm going to be the first one here praying. Even if it's not unforgiveness, whatever it is, bring what's weighing you down to the altar of the Lord.